President Obama will see for himself today the devastation in Colorado caused by the wildfires. He'll visit Colorado Springs, where 346 homes have been burned down and at least one person has died. NBC's Gina Kim is there.
After waiting in agony for much of the week, hundreds of evacuated families in Colorado Springs learned they no longer have homes. Fire crews now numbering near 1,500 for evacuees like Stephanie Kaufman. This fire has been both an emotional and physical roller coaster.
We evacuated a couple of days ago due to the smoke.
Gina Kim, NBC News, Colorado Springs.
Congress is close to passing legislation that would shield college students from a steep increase in the interest rate from student loans. Secretary of State Clinton and Russia's foreign minister are meeting today in Russia to discuss Syria. The two nations at odds over the future of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. This is NBC News Radio. After a long, tough all-nighter, European leaders have salvaged what seemed to be a summit teetering toward failure by agreeing to funnel money directly to struggling banks. In Phoenix, a man collapsed and died in the courtroom after being convicted of deliberately burning down his $3.5 million mansion. Police are trying to figure out if he put something in his mouth that led to his death after the verdict was read. He faced a long prison sentence. And it's official. The Flaming Lips are the music world's road warriors. The psychedelic rockers from Oklahoma set a new Guinness World Record for most live shows in a 24-hour period, starting in Memphis and finishing off eight performances later in New Orleans. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store. Except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera.
Dr. Morisi.
So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more about Kyocera technology like the 50-page per minute Task Alpha 5550 CI Color MFP at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com/US.
The company makes the BlackBerry, but the fortunes of Research in Motion are anything but in the black right now. Late Thursday, RIM reported a quarterly loss of more than $500 million, much more than expected. BlackBerry sales fell to just over half of what they were a year ago. Research in Motion also announces it's cutting 5,000 jobs. The stock fell 16% in extended trades. This week, we told you the company behind Budweiser wants to buy out the rest of Corona's parent company. It has now done so. Anheuser-Busch InBev paying $20 billion to finish acquiring Grupo Modelo. Coty, the perfume company, will file to go public, so says the Wall Street Journal, which says the filing could come any time. The change in strategy comes after Coty dropped its almost $11 billion bid to take over Avon. European Union summit reaches an agreement to ease debt issues in that continent, and stocks are gaining across the world, up about 2% in most of Asia and Europe. S&P futures up 18 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Dr. Marie. So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why, for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.75%, APR 3.03%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome to a new morning in America. Despite what most Republicans are spinning, and I say most because I think there's a half of a Republican somewhere who understands that what happened yesterday as a result of the Supreme Court decision was one of the finest moments in the history of America. Not of American politics, of America. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Friday, June 29th, 2012 edition of First Shift. We have an amazing show for you, and over the next 90-plus minutes, we will be focusing on the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. We will talk about how, quote-unquote, the media got it wrong, how a conservative justice got it right, how Republicans are stymied by the reality that Obamacare, which was fashioned almost exactly after Romney Care, could have been withheld or held up by the Supreme Court. What were you expecting to have happen? Honestly. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, it's a good day to be an American. I'm not even going to rub in your face that it's a good day to be a Democrat, because all Americans benefit from the Affordable Care Act. Every single one. This isn't about partisanship any longer. And I find it fascinating that Mitt Romney still insists that in his first day in office, me, the chief asshead of the Republican Party, will undo Obamacare, its repeal and replace. Well, first of all, Mr. Romney, you're not going to get elected. Second of all, Mr. Romney, you don't have the power to get rid of Obamacare on day one. Have I made myself clear? Sweet Jesus, you are the asshat of the year. I'm just going to keep calling it like it is, because the truth is empowering. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This first hour is going to all be about us, and would love to hear from you. 888-552-3595. What are your thoughts on the Supreme Court decision? That is, of course, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. Jonathan Fleece, author, will be with us at just after 7 o'clock to talk about what the Supreme Court did yesterday. Congressman Gary Peters then joins us at 7:22 to give us his thoughts on a piece of legislation that he passionately supported when it was introduced in the House of Representatives. At 7:35, author Bryce Covert will be with us. The anniversary of Title IX was the other day. We'll talk about the impact that it's had, not just on women in sports, but on women in general. That's right. It should be a fascinating conversation. Loved the article. That's why we got her on. Joe DeSano joins us at 8 o'clock, and we've got a lot of really interesting, really interesting stuff to get to. But we need to get this thing started, so let's do it.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Surprise! Surprise! Our first word today is surprise! How many of you were surprised beyond Fox News and CNN? How many of you were surprised yesterday? Surprise! That I was shocked. I wasn't surprised that Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts came down on the side of liberals. Who would have thunk that? Surprised. I mean, that was like people had heart attacks, and then instead of giving them shock treatments, people in emergency rooms just said, hey, guess what Chief Justice Roberts just did? And people went, what? He brought him back to life. I'm sure it happened somewhere. It's stunning. It is absolutely stunning, and I couldn't be happier. I found out, because it's going to be, this to me, this is going to be one of those moments, is where were you when you found out the Supreme Court had sanity? And I was actually standing in my kitchen, and my phone dinged. I looked down, and it was a tweet from Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com saying the Supreme Court has upheld Obamacare. That's where I was. And couldn't be happier. Surprised? Yeah. Absolutely a little surprised. Thrilled? You got it. Absolutely thrilled. What does it all mean? Well, we're going to work through some of that this morning, but the bottom line is, as long as we reelect President Barack Obama come 2014, at a minimum, 33 million Americans will no longer wonder what it's like to have health care. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's no surprise what just happened over the last 24 hours is a gift from the Supreme Court gods, and we are very grateful. Surprised is today's first word. Okay, we're actually going to start with maybe a little bit of surprise. The Detroit Pistons in the NBA draft yesterday made their pick. The name, and I saw the name this morning, and I went, that's not the name I've been hearing. That's not the name I've heard at all. But that's okay, because Joe Dumars apparently, or maybe suspiciously, or maybe it's just rumored, knows what he's doing. Good morning, Jeff Radford. Which of the following is true?
They were very surprised to see Drummond fall to them. And actually, it was during the show, towards the end of the show yesterday, that I had started seeing on Twitter the sports writers around the country. And John Goodman, I think it's John. Maybe that's the... Anyway, Goodman, the guy from CBS, he always tweets his updated mock. And he was the first mock to do it. And then I saw a lot of other mocks falling in line and saying that Andre Goodman or Andre Drummond could fall to them at pick number 9, and I thought, well, if that happens, Dumars will absolutely, you know, go insane. It'd be awesome. He was a guy with mass and size and youth. I mean, he's basically, people wanted to say that he's Andrew Bynum, but maybe hopefully more mature.
Okay, maybe hopefully kind of. Well, I mean, you know, your assessment.
I like it. That's who I want them to go for. Not necessarily Goodman, Drummond as a guy, but that's what the kind of guy I wanted. A guy with potential, athleticism, tall, big, you know, has some size. Now they've got him and Greg Monroe in the front court. That's some size right there. And he averaged 3 blocks a game last year, 10 points, 7 rebounds. So. That you couldn't ask for more. If you're a Pistons fan, you wanted a big man. That's a true center. There's not too many big true centers in the league, and he might be one of them.
Okay.
You can only say might with all of these guys though, because they're. I think the guy's 19 years old. Like we have no idea. It's funny to think a 6'10", 280 hasn't grown into his body yet. You know, like he's just not fully matured yet.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's this theory that, especially in the NBA draft, that after the not even the first round, after the first five picks in the first round, everybody's a crapshoot. And some are even saying this year's class, after the first pick,
yep,
everybody's a crapshoot. Your assessment there?
Yeah, first pick. Everyone knows for sure, and even this is going to sound ridiculous because there's times where people have had, you know, can't-miss kids and they actually miss, but everyone is consensus. Anthony Davis, the best player, period. The only safe pick in the draft. And then after that, I saw everyone pegging. Number two is definitely going to be this guy. And then, of course, number two surprised everyone, and it was the Kid Gilchrist guy. So, and then from there, it was just like, you know, people were going chaotic, wondering, oh, wait a minute, this is going to shake up the entire draft, and who knows who might fall to what team. And there was definitely some surprises. The Thunder, who went to the NBA Finals, ended up getting a guy that a lot of people thought the Pistons were going to take at 9. And they got him, like, what, 27th or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
The Perry Jones III, full of potential, has all the potential in the world. Could be, potentially a superstar in the making. But that risk is just, it's super potential and not yet realized, and there's a lot of risk involved with him. So he fell all the way down.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Anyway, congratulations to the Detroit Pistons.
Were you surprised about the Tigers last night?
That they won?
Yeah.
No, I got to be honest with you, because I didn't have a chance to, because there's so much going on with the Affordable Care Act, Jeff, as you know. The headline that I saw said bullpen, basically bullpen comes in early to save the game, and don't quite understand what that meant. So maybe you can update me.
I didn't see that headline. I thought, from what I've heard, Scherzer had 7 strikeouts. He now pulled ahead of Verlander for the American League lead in strikeouts. And so there you go. The two top American League leaders in strikeouts are Verlander and Scherzer. But, and again, they hammer Shields. I mean, double. It's the most hits I think he's ever given up in a start. And in coming off of a series against Texas where he had 22, he scored 22 runs. I can't even remember how many hits they had, but it's they just added another hitting coach, and apparently it paid off immediately.
No, yes, that second hitting coach. What was his name? Hurrah?
Hurrah. Yeah, Hurrah is better.
We're changing it. That's all I'm saying is we're changing it. Whether it is that or not, we're changing it. All right, we've got to take a break, so we're going to do that. And then from this point on, it's nothing about the Affordable Care Act. Congratulations to President Obama, to the American people, to all of you. I guess you are the American people. Well, there are some Canadians that listen. Congratulations to the single payer you already have. Let's take a quick break. And we'll be back on First Shift. 888-552-3595. This is Tony Trupiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. More to come.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic for this Friday morning. No accidents or slowdowns anywhere, but we do have road construction on Belleville Road over 94 and also Hagerty over 94. Left lanes will be closed in each direction until 3 o'clock. And 75 northbound between Swan Creek Road and Huron River Drive. Single lane closures until 3 o'clock. Expect some delays through that zone. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
1-800-520-1020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo. Bill Foster joins me from Dearborn this morning to talk about Teabag.
Basically, when the Tea Party, taxed enough already, first came to the forefront, the first thing I thought of was Alice in Wonderland and the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And in following and listening to the conservative movement in this country, I just found more and more similarities in their rhetoric to everything that was expressed by Lewis Carroll. And I started thinking about matching up the different pundits and politicals with the various characters from Carroll's book. And the more I thought about it, the similarities just were so striking, I just felt compelled I had to do it.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we really do need to start at the very beginning. Do not break out into song from the Sound of Music, of course. We do need to start at the very beginning yesterday, just after 10 a.m. Fox News. Initial reaction to what the Supreme Court was saying proved not only to be wrong, but interestingly, their reaction was, well, I'll let you decide for yourself. This is Fox News and how they initially responded.
Shannon Bream is live outside the Supreme Court now with more. Shannon, good morning there.
Good morning. We have just gotten the opinion. I'm just getting a first look at it. It is authored by the Chief Justice John Roberts. He has language specifically going to the Commerce Clause and whether the mandate is okay or not under the Commerce Clause, Congress's power. He says this compels individuals to become active in commerce by purchasing a product on the ground that their failure to do so it affects interstate commerce. He says the individual mandate cannot be sustained under Congress's power to regulate commerce. That means the mandate is gone. Chief Justice John Roberts writing this. We'll take a look, and I'll try to get to the severability, because now we're going to get to severability.
All right, Shannon, because we are looking at this, and we're trying. We talked about the fog of law, and to our viewers at home, be patient with us as we work through this. Megan, you're seeing something
now. We're getting conflicting information. If you follow SCOTUSblog.com, which is covers the high court,
correct.
They say that despite what Shannon just read, that the individual mandate is surviving as a tax.
All right, now, this is what happened, and I want to be fair. I just want to be fair, because we're about to pick on CNN, too. They needed to be more cautious, and they should have known better than to say what they were saying while they were saying it. Another way of me saying, don't rush to judgment, which is what they did. CNN was actually even a little more extreme, a little worse, if you will, in their response. But then they tried to justify and explain why it is they got the reports wrong. This is what CNN said.
Wait, you want which one do you want? The one
CNN tries to explain why it gets the reporting wrong.
Oh, gotcha. All right, that might take me a while.
All right.
Oh, well, no, I got it. Never mind.
Okay.
Take us inside as this played out and explain to some of our viewers, we frankly got the initial parts of this decision wrong because the Chief Justice started by saying,
well, let me start from the beginning. I mean, it was just an extraordinary and such a swirling turn of events in the course of really about 10 minutes. The Chief Justice took the bench at about 10:06. There were 5 minutes on an earlier case. But at 10:06, the Chief Justice announced that he was going to announce the opinion of the court in the Health and Human Services versus the National Federation of Independent Businesses. I guess that's how the case will be known for history. And he started reading. And the first issue he addressed was the Commerce Clause. Does Congress have the authority under the Commerce Clause to enact the individual mandate, the requirement that all Americans have insurance? And he basically adopted in its entirety the argument of the challengers to the law. He said that this was outside the federal government's power.
Okay. Again, this is their spin. And it's okay. I mean, when you get it wrong, you got to kind of justify it, right? You do. I mean, I get it. I get it. Now, from there, there's a lot of reaction, both interesting, ugly, happy, sad, in between. What's really been fascinating, if you watch some of the cable channels, the reaction from the right has been fascinating. Somebody tweeted overnight that they lost two friends yesterday, John Roberts and America. Oh, my God. America? You lost America last night? Really? You lost America? Okay, before we start having a little fun with this, we should go to, and Mitt Romney did speak first, so we're going to go to Mitt Romney first. Mitt Romney's first thoughts after he heard what the Supreme Court had decided.
I disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, and I agree with the dissent. What the court did not do on its last day in session, I will do on my first day if elected president of the United States. And that is, I will act to repeal Obamacare. Let's make clear that we understand what the court did and did not do. What the court did today was say that Obamacare does not violate the Constitution. What they did not do was say that Obamacare is good law or that it's good policy. Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today. Obamacare was bad law yesterday. It's bad law today.
Well, of course, the Supreme Court doesn't exist to opine on law, so Mitt Romney, you can shove that up your pooper. All right, he went on to say that, it's time for America to choose, and God knows that's true. This is what he had to say.
And so this is now a time for the American people to make a choice. You can choose whether you want to have a larger and larger government, more and more intrusive in your life, separating you and your doctor. Whether you're comfortable with more deficits, higher debt that we pass on to the coming generations, whether you're willing to have the government put in place a plan that potentially causes you to lose the insurance that you like, or whether instead you want to return to a time when the American people will have their own choice in health care, where consumers will be able to make their choices as to what kind of health insurance they want. This is a time of choice for the American people. Our mission is clear. If we want to get rid of Obamacare, we're going to have to replace President Obama. My mission is to make sure we do exactly that.
Oh, my God. By the way, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, it actually allows all that stuff that he was just saying. And, oh, and the reason he would know that is Obamacare was fashioned after Romney Care. And, in fact, let me go one step further. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg cited Romney Care as a reason for upholding Obamacare. How many of you are familiar with that? How many of you conservatives are familiar with that? That's right. Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg cited Romney Care as the reason for upholding Obamacare. Now, so Romney spoke first, and the president had his chance to express his feelings to the American people. This is what he had to say.
Earlier today, the Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, the name of the health care reform we passed 2 years ago. In doing so, they've reaffirmed a fundamental principle that here in America, in the wealthiest nation on earth. No illness or accident should lead to any family's financial ruin. I know there will be a lot of discussion today about the politics of all this, about who won and who lost. It should be pretty clear by now that I didn't do this because it was good politics. I did it because I believed it was good for the country. I did it because I believed it was good for the American people. The highest court in the land has now spoken. We will continue to implement this law. And we'll work together to improve on it where we can. But what we won't do, what the country can't afford to do, is refight the political battles of 2 years ago or go back to the way things were. With today's announcement, it's time for us to move forward, to implement and, where necessary, improve on this law. And now's the time to keep our focus on the most urgent challenge of our time, putting people back to work, paying down our debt, and building an economy where people can have confidence that if they work hard, they can get ahead.
All right. There will be much more on the other side. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I will ask you to just ask yourself this question. When you hear or read a Republican's reaction to what the Supreme Court did yesterday, is any of it based in anything but opinion? We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, we are accident-free right now, but we do have some road construction on 75 northbound between Swan Creek and Huron River Drive. We have a single-lane closure until 3 o'clock today, and you can expect some delays through that zone. And also got some left-lane closures in each direction on Belleville Road over 94 and also Haggerty Road over 94. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
And now for some happy talk. By which I mean a non-corporate, little-d democratic, and altogether pleasurable economic development that's spreading across our country. In a word, beer. More specifically, craft breweries are flourishing from Maine to Oregon, with happy hopheads in town after town now able to boast of their own local, unique, zesty, and fun batch of suds. While Anheuser-Busch, now owned by a German conglomerate, and Miller Coors, partially owned by Canadians, still dominate America's beer market, sales of the nondescript national brands have soured in recent years. But innovative small-batch hometown yeast wranglers have tapped a burgeoning market of brewski lovers who are reaching for the real gusto. Since 2004, craft beers have doubled their share of the U.S. market. Some 250 upstart breweries opened last year alone, bringing their total number to nearly 2,000. This has been a true populist economic phenomenon. Consumers and artisans have found each other and spontaneously created an alternative, locally based economy that helps sustain themselves and their community, rather than having their money siphoned out by faraway profit takers. Of course, the big boys are slyly trying to sink their own taps into the craft success of the small guys. Budweiser and Miller, for example, are now marketing pretend craft beers, having bought such once local brands as Chicago's Goose Island and Wisconsin's Leinenkugel. Unabashed by this consumer deception, however, a Miller spokesman sniffed, "We don't concern ourselves with what someone else defines as a craft brewer." Wow, sounds like Miller's man quaffed one too many mugs of a genuine local beer from San Diego called Arrogant Bastard.
This is Jim Hightower saying, when in doubt about whether a local beer is really local, ask the locals.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Oh, it just gets richer and richer with each passing moment. Jeff just posted to our Facebook page a list of people who say they are now moving to Canada as a result of the Supreme Court allowing nothing close to universal health care to become law. So they're going to move to a country that has universal health care as a way to protest not quite having universal health care. I think that's the way I'm understanding this. Oh, my. And the conservatives are so intelligent, so intelligent, so intelligent. In fact, as Jeff and I were listening to audio this morning, the always vivacious Republican congresswoman from the great state of Minnesota, Michelle Bachmann, well, she was inside the Supreme Court when the decision was read. Ladies and gentlemen, she is stunned. She is absolutely disgusted by what the Supreme Court has done. But I should not put words in her mouth. This is what Michelle Bachmann had to say.
Well, it really is a turning point in American history. We will never be the same again. And what went through my mind is the court first went through the Commerce Clause argument. They rejected Obamacare and the individual mandate as constitutional under the Commerce Clause. And so across the courtroom, it appeared that the court had struck down the constitutionality of the individual mandate and Obamacare. But then the court turned to the tax argument, which was bizarre, because the court ruled that Obamacare was not a tax for purpose of jurisdiction to hear the case. And then just several pages later, they said, no, it is a tax. And so therefore, Congress has the power to regulate this tax and create this tax, and it's constitutional. From my mind, this is clearly unconstitutional. There is no basis in the Constitution for the government to have this level of history-making expansion of power. Because now this means, for the first time in the history of the country, Congress can force Americans to purchase any product, any service that Congress wants them to, which means that Congress then determines the price, and we are forced to, which is a denial of liberty. This is the first time anything like this has happened. This is a turning point in American history. We will never be the same again with this denial of liberty interests.
Well, this is not the first time in the history of the country that this has happened, and states have been doing it forever. You know, that car insurance you have to buy, you have to buy it, you can't take a crapshoot, right? You got to, anyway, Michelle Bachmann, I know you love a microphone. I don't know if it's the phallicness of it, I don't know what it is, but would you stop talking into a microphone, please? You're beginning to turn my stomach. You just get it wrong at every turn. Rush Limbaugh, of course, this idea that this is the greatest tax, whatever, we might as well focus on that a little bit. Rush Limbaugh, of course, couldn't wait to pounce all over that, and this is what he had to say.
What we now have is the biggest tax increase in the history of the world. What we have been told by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and four liberals on the court, Obamacare is just a massive tax increase. That's all it is. Obama lied to us about that. He lied. The Democrats lied. It wasn't a tax. There was no way it was a tax. The Chief Justice was hell-bound, hell-bent to find a way to make this law applicable. So he just decided, you know what? As a tax increase, it works because there's no limit on the federal government's ability to tax. And it's right there in the preamble of the Constitution, right there, Article 1, Section 8, General Welfare Clause. It's been established. Congress can tax whatever, whoever, whenever, how much they want. And this just goes to, even when they don't ask for it, the Supreme Court is going to find a way to make what they want to do legal. Because John Roberts said, it's not our job here to forbid this.
Oh, my, my, my. Poor Rush. Poor Rush. Oh, the poor baby. Well, you know what? The president and George Stephanopoulos sat down back in March when this was being argued before the Supreme Court and talked about whether or not this is a tax. This is what the president of the United States had to say.
No, that's not true, George. For us to say that you've got to take a responsibility to get health insurance is absolutely not a tax increase. What it's saying is that we're not going to have other people carrying your burdens for you, any more than the fact that right now everybody in America just about has to get auto insurance. Nobody considers that a tax increase. People say to themselves, that is a fair way to make sure that if you hit my car, that I'm not covering all the costs. No, but George, you can't just make up that language and decide that that's called a tax increase.
I don't think I'm making it up. Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Tax, a charge usually of money imposed by authority on persons or property for public purposes.
George, the fact that you looked up Merriam's dictionary, that the definition of tax increase, indicates to me that you're stretching a little bit right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gone to the dictionary to check on the definition.
Well, no.
I mean, if what you're saying
is... I wanted to check for myself, but your critics say it is a tax increase.
My critics say everything's a tax increase. My critics say that I'm taking over every sector of the economy. You know that. Look, we can have a legitimate debate about whether or not we're going to have an individual mandate or not. But
you reject that it's a tax increase.
I absolutely reject that notion.
And it is not a tax increase because it's not a tax on everybody. You are only penalized if you decide to not participate in the system. That's all it says. That's all this is about, by the way. In Massachusetts, where they have Romney Care, 98% of all adults are covered by insurance. Nearly 100% of children now have health insurance. Now, that's horrible. Oh, my God, why would we want that? Well, of course, Fox News has to blame someone, right? This didn't go their way. I can promise you that the guests that they had lined up, that they had to cancel after the Supreme Court decision came down, because they're arrogant enough to believe that it was going to go, quote-unquote, their way, and when it didn't, they didn't know what to do. So they had to blame it on someone. And that someone, of course, is Chief Justice John Roberts. Fox News, well, then, of course, has to point their finger at someone. This is what they did.
And now we are joined by the man who helped vet Chief Justice John Roberts when we knew him as a nominee, Alberto Gonzalez, also a former Attorney General of the United States and of counsel now at the Waller Law Firm. General Gonzalez, let me ask you, because, you know, to the people who are watching this saying, thanks a lot, John Roberts, what say you?
Well, you know, I'd like to spend a little time thinking about the opinion, reading it carefully, and would like to withhold final judgment. I've got a great deal of respect for John Roberts. Spent a lot of time vetting him, spent a lot of time talking with him about his philosophy of judging. And so, listen, no matter who the judge is, you're going to disagree at some point or another with respect to decisions by judges. It's just the way it is. But I have a great deal of faith in John Roberts and the decision he rendered today. And what's really important from my perspective is that we need to find a way to make sure that we have viable health care, affordable health care, effective health care for Americans. And now we know that this is one avenue to get it through the Affordable Care Act.
So I'm just going to guess that Fox News is not happy with the way Alberto Gonzalez answered that question. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Doesn't this kind of remind you of like the Crittenden thing where, you know, that's his job to rule. I mean, he might feel personally different in how dare he go against his personal feelings, but it's his job to rule this way.
There were still, let's keep in mind, there were four conservative justices that voted a certain way, and John Roberts is one of the most conservative justices, if not the most conservative justice we have. So, yeah, Jeff, everybody's a little stunned that he did his job the proper way. I get that. But Alberto Gonzalez is just saying, hey, listen, all I'm trying to say is, well, maybe this isn't a bad thing.
It is funny, though. They're like, hey, wait a minute. You were the guy supposed to be checking this guy out. This wasn't supposed to happen, pal.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think that interview quite went the way Fox News wanted it to go. Just saying. Let's quickly go to the phones and welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's on your mind?
I'm,
I'm surprised they didn't edit that, you know, that interview also. But you know what, Tony? To me, this proves that the Republicans, you know, and there's never all of anything, okay? But, you know, for the most part, categorically, they don't give a damn about the least of our brethren. I mean, you know, here we have a bill now that covers 30-plus million people in this country who didn't have or couldn't afford to get health care. And now it's in place. I mean, because some of these folks were, you know, they would wait until they get damn near dead, and some of them have died because they didn't have it, but wait till they get damn near, you know, real, real sick, and they would go to their primary care physician, which is the emergency room. And that just kept kicking the cost up. But, I mean, you know, the Republicans, you know, they take care of their own. And, I mean, anybody who was not in that whatever percentage it is, I mean, they don't give a damn about you. I mean, here's Romney talking about, you know, Obamacare was wrong yesterday and it's wrong today. Well, damn it. What did he do in Massachusetts but basically do the same thing?
Absolutely.
So if it was wrong then it's wrong now. Okay, go ahead and let's call a spade a spade. You can't sit there and pick on President Obama and then not turn around and look at what you did in Massachusetts.
Well, no question that everything you've said is, Tom, absolutely true. And what the Obama camp needs to do today is now reaffirm and redefine for the American people what the American or the Affordable Care Act does, and they need to absolutely ram it down our throats. They need to be proud of it.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, don't sit here and just, you know, think, okay, well, let's turn the page. You know, I mean, let's go ahead and still deal with this thing.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, they need to say, Governor Romney, if this is so horrible, how do you define and how do you defend all the good things that have happened in the state of Massachusetts as a result of your health care initiative? What are you doing? What are you saying to the American people? You don't deserve health care? All right, Tom, thank you so much for the call. We got to get to the break. We'll be back. There's so much more to get to. We're going to hear from my friend Ed Schultz. Of course, John Stewart's got to have something to say. We'll get to that. And I've got some more thoughts as well. Join us, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Professor Ian Robinson, I want to welcome you to First Shift.
We haven't seen anything like this since the American Association of University Professors way back in the day formed in order to, you know, articulate and defend the idea of academic freedom. Because back in those times, if professors, faculty tried to teach courses that seriously addressed the interests of what we would nowadays call the 99%, they were quite likely to be fired from their university. university positions because the power of the business community was such that they often sat on the university boards, or they had such power in the legislatures that if it was a public university, they could arrange to, through the regents or whatever the governing body of the public university was, to have those folks fired. So we fought for, and over the years built up, a pretty strong principle of academic freedom. It got violated in the Cold War days, the McCarthy era in the 50s, but since then we haven't seen that kind of effort by legislatures and individual politicians on the right to reach in and actually, you know, changing, violating the principle of academic freedom by reaching into people's syllabus and trying to tell them what they can and can't teach on the penalty of major loss of funding.
On 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
All right, let's try to move through a little more audio. I've got some closing thoughts as well, at least in this hour. We are going to continue the discussion, although with guests, in the next hour. So let's just move forward. Ed Schultz on MSNBC. On how each campaign now moves forward, this is what I'd have to say.
I have to give credit to the Chief Justice, John Roberts. This is balls and strikes. He didn't go down the route of the Commerce Clause. He went down the route of a taxing entity. And they can't rule on it until the tax is collected. This is a big deal. So he was fair. He was clearly fair, and I think that this is a big victory, obviously, for the Obama team, for 30 million of Americans who didn't have insurance before, for young students who are going to be on their parents' policy, and I think that this is going to be easier for the Romney camp. He doesn't have to parcel out what he's for or against or even take a position. He now can just run against what he calls Obamacare. So the Romney campaign just got a little bit easier for him today because they can run against the whole thing. Boehner has already said that they're going to have a vote to repeal it in the House on July 9th, which is going to be more political theater. As far as the Obama camp is concerned, the Obama camp is going to go out there and be able to say, we were with the people all along.
All right, and let's hope that's what the Obama camp will do. Very quickly now, we move to Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, who, of course, always has a, well, refreshing point of view. This is what he had to say.
7 full minutes of unconstitutional mandate hyperventilation.
The court striking down that mandate is a dramatic blow to the policy and to the president. The justices have just gutted, well, the centerpiece provision of the Obama health care law.
It raises questions about any of this health care reform law.
The direct blow to the president of the United States, a direct blow to his Democratic Party.
Yes. How will the administration recover after this incredibly public blow to their credibility? I mean, the administration... The administration staked their entire reputation on this important moment. And now the administration is out there, the face of this giant up. Sure wouldn't want to be the administration right now. Anything else you want to add, CNN?
We're getting widely different assessments of what the United States Supreme Court has decided.
Yes, widely different. There's what you've been saying. And then there's what happened. No sympathy, CNN. You've been driving us nuts with this for months. Ooh, the ruling's going to come down. The ruling's going to... It was like Christmas morning for you guys. You were bugging everybody. Ooh, what are we going to get? What are they going to get us? Is it in there? Can you tell me what it is? What is it? Oh, can I shake it? By a 5-4 decision, what actually happened was Chief Justice John Roberts joined the 4 more liberal justices and wrote the majority opinion that the individual mandate was deemed unconstitutional under the Commerce Clause, but that didn't really matter because the decision upheld the individual mandate as within Congress's power to levy taxes. It's very confusing. Unless you read, obviously, up to page 4.
Oh, God bless you, John Stewart. Listen, let's go back to something I asked the other day. Mitt Romney stood before a sign, did anybody see it, that said, repeal and replace. With what, Mitt? Answer that for me. With what? Replace it with what, Mitt Romney? Willard, you have to start answering questions. You actually have to start telling us what you stand for, just not what you're against. And guess what? We have figured it out. If Obama likes it, you don't. So now that we know that, can you tell us what it is you stand for? What is it that you'll give us? How will you create jobs? What will you do to make sure that those of us, because he talks ad nauseum about pre-existing conditions, what will you do to make sure that what your plan will do as well as, if not better than, the Affordable Care Act? And I'll ask again, you said on day one, you asshat, you said on day one, you'll eradicate Obamacare. Well, we know that you can't do that. You are beginning to change your language a little bit. You'll begin the process of, well, first of all, I don't think you're going to have, in fact, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have the ability to do that because you won't be president. You see, at some point, as we look at even the early polls, and it's way too early for us to help define what it is this is going to be, this election, what the early polls are telling us is, yeah, it may be close in some places, but as people begin to ask the question I'm asking right now, what is it that you stand for? And folks, if you really want to see President Obama reelected, you need to start repeating that line. Folks, that's fine. Tell them. Support Mitt Romney all you'd like, but answer this. What does Mitt Romney stand for? And then expect and demand an answer. You can't get one. Because Mitt Romney has yet to define one policy initiative that would matter. You think I'm joking? Go to his website. You see, Mitt Romney doesn't stand for anything. He doesn't stand up for anybody, and he doesn't stand for anything. Oh, sure, he's got his corporate buddies, and they sit around and do their circle you-know-what. And that's okay. That's fine. We all need to feel good about something every now and then. We all have needs, don't we, Mitt? Guess that's why you had 14 kids or whatever you had. No, I'm not picking on your religion. I'm picking on you. You see, you want to be president of the United States because you've spent millions of your own dollars over the last 6 years campaigning for a job you're not qualified to have, and I'm saying you're not qualified, not that you don't have the business acumen to do it. You do. You probably are one of the most intelligent businessmen this country has ever known. Politically? Absolutely. You've been a governor. You know how to do the job. You want to throw in the Olympics? Apps organizationally? Sure. That is a great resume filler. I say you're not qualified to be president, Mitt Romney, because you have yet to tell us what you stand for. Chances are the reason that you've yet to tell us what you stand for is because you either don't know it or you know the American people won't stand for it. Running for office, I don't care if it's dog catcher, is a job interview, and you failed on this one. The worst part is Obamacare is fashioned after Romney Care, which is something you should be very proud of. Why? Because it's working in a profoundly good way in Massachusetts, but instead of running toward it, you're running away from it. And why are you doing that? Because the Tea Party, which, by the way, you're not a member of and never will be because you'll never be that conservative, won't let you be who you are. And if that's the kind of politician you want to be, someone you could never be, well, God bless you, go ahead and do it. But I don't think this country's going to let you be its president because, frankly, in order to be president, you have to be your own man. At least Barack Obama can look in the mirror and say he is. We'll take a break. More to come on the other side.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. checking your roadways. We are accident-free right now, but we do have some road construction on 75 northbound between Swan Creek and Huron River Drive. We have a single-lane closure until 3 o'clock today, and as you can expect, some delays through that zone. And also got some left-lane closures in each direction on Belleville Road over 94 and also Haggerty Road over 94. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. It's still the law of the land. President Obama calling on Americans to put the political divide over the Affordable Health Care Act behind them.
Whatever the politics, today's decision was a victory for people all over this country whose lives will be more secure because of this law and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold it.
But Republicans vow to take the battle over health care into November. The clock is ticking on Capitol Hill. Congressional leaders are pushing for quick action today on a deal that would overhaul highway and transit programs and keep college loans at more affordable rates. It's bullish out there. World markets are sharply higher on a deal in Europe to shore up banks and bring down borrowing costs. Wall Street hailing the news, stock futures sharply higher. And in California, good news for the great outdoors. Officials say 65 of the 70 state parks once slated to close this weekend due to budget cuts will remain open thanks to new funding. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama flies to Colorado today to survey damage from the worst wildfires in state history. Aerial photos show hundreds of homes in the Colorado Springs area have been destroyed. Homeowner Stephanie Kaufman.
We evacuated a couple of days ago due to the smoke, came back, and then we had to mandatory evac again, came to Monument, and now Monument's on pre-evacuation.
More than 30,000 evacuations in Colorado Springs, the president declaring Colorado a major disaster area. Another big Supreme Court decision yesterday, striking down the Stolen Valor Act, rejecting the law that punishes people who lie about military service and medals, saying it violated free speech. And together, they've been meat-free for 45 years. PETA has chosen actors Jessica Chastain and Woody Harrelson as their 2012's sexiest vegetarian celebrities. Other so-called hot herbivores include Michelle Pfeiffer, Venus Williams, Anne Hathaway, and even a vegan former president, Bill Clinton. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
It's time for 4th of July travel. So right now at Sears Auto Center, save $35 on a road trip ready package that includes an alignment, conventional oil change, tire rotation, and air filter. And save on all tires, including a buy three, get one free deal on qualifying Goodyear tires. Stop by Sears Auto Center or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons. This is the way to roll into summer. This is Sears Auto Center. Most vehicles package regularly $137.97. Free tire of equal or lesser value, N77. Shop fees and exclusions apply. See store for details.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle, sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
The picture is bleak at BlackBerry headquarters. BlackBerry maker Research in Motion says its earnings tumbled last quarter to a loss of more than $500 million. Sales fell to slightly more than half what they were just last year. 5,000 jobs are being cut. The company's stock down 16% in extended trades. As for its future, Reuters reports Research in Motion is being forced to consider unpalatable options, including selling its network business or forming an alliance with a healthier company such as Microsoft. Also falling in after-hours trades, stock in Nike, shares off 13% after the company reported an unexpected 8% drop in quarterly earnings, badly missing forecasts. An unexpected deal at the European Union summit to streamline monetary help for struggling member nations has sparked a rally pretty much everywhere. Asian and European markets up as much as 2%, We look pretty good here. S&P futures rising 18, NASDAQ futures up 34, Dow futures up 134. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Dr. Marie, go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com, where you can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera.
Dr. Morisi, go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more about Kyocera technology like the 50-page per minute Task Alpha 5550 CI Color MFP at Kyocera.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea.
A thought.
Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 29th day of June 2012. As we've been talking in the last hour, we will continue in this hour. In fact, in just a little while, Congressman Gary Peters will be joining us to talk about his support of the Affordable Care Act. We'll also talk about the anniversary of Title IX a little later on in this hour. But my next guest joining us is Jonathan Fleece. Jonathan Fleece is co-author of a book entitled The New Health Age, and he's here this morning to walk us through a little bit of the decision yesterday and maybe talk a little bit about what we can expect. And I promise, as I talked to him yesterday, that we'll have him on in the very near future to actually talk about the book, because health seems to have been a theme that's resonating with you folks, but we'll come back to that. Jonathan Fleece, welcome to First Shift this morning. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
Good morning, Tony, from sunny Florida.
I would imagine you're a little tired. I know yesterday you got your ass kicked. You were one of the more popular guys on television and radio. You were nonstop, like the Energizer Bunny yesterday.
It was one of the most intense media days of my career, no doubt about it. CNN, WGN, Chicago, several radio stations. I mean, it was an important day for America, no doubt.
Well, no question. Listen, so that we understand exactly where I stand, I'm pleased with what the Supreme Court did. Anything that gets more people covered under health insurance is a positive thing. We can politicize this, and many will throughout the day, but the bottom line is a decision has been made. We need to live with it, and we need to move on, Jonathan. At some point, we just need to move on. Let's not live in the past. Let's live in the present and make the best of the situation. That's where I stand anyway.
No, I absolutely stand beside you there, Tony. As David Houle and I, my co-author, learned during the multi-year process of researching and writing our book, The New Health Age, The Future of Healthcare in America, what we found overwhelmingly is that the discussion around health and healthcare historically over the last several years has been driven around fear, misinformation, and politics. And the health of our nation, both physically and economically, should not be driven around fear, misinformation, and politics. It's just too important.
Well, you know, as we you and I talked briefly yesterday, so for full disclosure for the audience, you and I did have a little bit of a conversation yesterday. One of the things, Jonathan, we talked about, which is something that isn't talked about in the political realm, is when does the individual start taking more personal responsibility for their own health? When do we start providing real, honest information in which people all over this great country of ours can say, I didn't realize that by eating this processed food, it would, you know, the exponential effect of that is I would get diabetes or this would happen. And we need to start having a conversation just beyond how do we all get health insurance, don't we?
Absolutely. And I think that is going to be something that the viewers and the Americans are going to have to sort of accept, that, you know, part of the quid pro quo, if you will, moving forward is that, yes, now we have more access to health care, we have the individual mandate, but there are going to be some strings attached to it, and I think Americans are going to see more and more of that, both from private insurance as well as even from some of the government plans. I mean, if you choose not to live a healthy lifestyle, smoke, not try to lose weight, and live healthy, you're going to ultimately end up paying more in the system moving forward. So we're going to definitely have to face that question.
Well, you know, and to let this audience know, when I shared with Jonathan yesterday that I had had gastric bypass, the first words out of his mouth were, congratulations for accepting, the responsibility for better health in your own life. I mean, he was very upfront and honest about that. Let's, Jonathan, for a moment, go back to what the Supreme Court did yesterday and the importance of that decision. You, of course, followed the oral arguments back in March quite closely. Both you and David did that. Were you surprised that Justice Roberts, of all people, he came out on this the way he did based on the questioning that was surrounding those March hearings? Because that's where I think I got a little bit surprised.
Well, you're right, Tony. I not only did I hear and listen to all the oral arguments, I mean, I've read the entire Affordable Care Act and most of the regulations that have been promulgated since the Affordable Care Act. And I'll be totally upfront. I've been on TV, radio frequently since writing the book and in light of all the Supreme Court issues. I was not surprised yesterday. I mean, I've been pretty consistent in my belief that if the court truly was going to honor its role in upholding constitutional law, I believe that the court was going to allow the law to stand, and that's sort of a complicated discussion which we can have at some point if you want. But and I was not surprised with Roberts. I'll tell you, the justice who surprised me was Kennedy. I really had felt from the beginning that Justice Roberts did not want this opinion to go down and appear to be a political opinion. He wanted it to be a true judicial opinion, and that I felt like Kennedy was going to actually side for upholding the Affordable Care Act and Roberts would follow him. I just did not anticipate Kennedy to actually go on the other side. But in any event, it ended up the way I really thought it was going
to. Well, that's great. Let's talk just briefly, and then again, I promised and I will do this the next time we have you on. Actually, I envision a few times having you on. Next time we're going to talk about the book, and we'll tell people where to get that in a moment. And then we need to continue this conversation in a more meaningful way. But when we think to the future, everything stays the way it is. The president gets reelected, because the only way now the Affordable Care Act gets dismantled is if there's a new president. As we look at what we can expect come 2014 and beyond, what will change beyond more people having access to health care, Jonathan?
Well, the entire healthcare system, regardless of what the court did yesterday, is already completely reinventing itself. And I'm glad that you're inviting me back and we can explore that a lot further down the road. But regardless how the court would have ruled yesterday, America is moving into the new health age as we define it in our book. We're moving towards wellness, prevention, being more proactive, and rewarding healthcare providers, doctors, hospitals, et cetera, on producing better outcomes for patients. Everything that we've come to know in 80% of the economy of non-healthcare is simply coming to healthcare, which is the 20% or give or take of the economy. So those big themes, how we think about healthcare, how we deliver it, and how we pay for healthcare is the future, and it's what we talk about in our book. It's really very, very transformational. And the transformation and the transition is going to be a difficult process, but the back end is going to be really, really good for this country.
The book is titled The New Health Age. So tell me a little bit about the book very quickly and where we can get it. And then, again, as promised, we will have you back very soon to talk about this in greater detail.
Well, the high-level theme about the new health age is where we've been in healthcare, where we are, and where we're going. And we wrote the book, again, to get the discussion out of fear, misinformation, and politics, because that's not where the discussion needs to be. And we talk a lot about these dynamic flow changes, how we think, how we deliver, and how we pay for healthcare are changing. The readers can get it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, stores, online. We also have our own website where we have chat rooms, www.thenewhealthage.com. And then also I'll leave you with the movement in our book is called The Race to a Healthy America. David Rule and I, my co-author, really believe that the new health age will make America one of the healthiest nations on the planet by 2025. So learn more about The Race to a Healthy America. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and I got to say, you're actually leading that race, Jonathan. You're not just, this is not just convenient conversation for you. You've actually taken personal control of your own health, haven't you?
I absolutely have. 2 years ago, my doctor looked at me in the eyes and said, you're not healthy. You're going to have to go on blood pressure medicine and all sorts of other horrible things if you don't get control. And 2 years ago at 5'9", I was 200 pounds and overweight. And today, I'm 160 pounds and I've lost 40, obviously. And I've totally changed my lifestyle and live healthy and feel better and more energetic than I ever have in my 44 years.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, Jonathan, to actually listen to somebody that's not only talked the talk but walked the walk, because anybody can say it, anybody can write it, but to have actually done it, well, that takes the commitment that not everybody has. So I personally appreciate that journey, Jonathan Fleece, and we will look forward to having you back on very, very soon. We'll get a hold of Heather Moore, your publicist, and make sure that we coordinate not just one more visit, but I would think at least two more, if not three, as we move forward. We've been talking a lot on the show about better health lately, as you and I talked yesterday. So we'll make sure that we get that coordinated through Heather. In the meantime, Jonathan, get some rest and enjoy your time in the spotlight for right now, and good health to you.
Well, thank you and all your listeners. We're on a journey to the new health page together, and it'll be a bright future. So thanks so much. I look forward to the next show, Tony, and good day, everybody.
You bet. Jonathan Fleece again, co-author of the book, The New Health Age. You do want to go get it. We'll take the break here. Congressman Gary Peters, when First Shift continues.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, it looks good so far. Only thing we're watching is a slowdown over on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it, our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. It is a glorious day to be an American, despite the spin that Republicans are putting on. And I am continuing to chuckle at the people on Twitter, that the Republicans on Twitter, that are saying they're now moving to Canada as a result of the Supreme Court decision, where they will now enjoy, after paying exorbitant taxes, according to them, single payer health care. Somebody want to explain to me how that happens? Joining us now is Congressman Gary Peters, who back in 2010 stood with President Obama to help pass the landmark health care reform law. I don't want to put words into your mouth, Congressman, so I'll just welcome you back to the show and ask you how you feel about the Supreme Court decision yesterday.
Well, Tony, it's great to be with you again, and certainly feel great about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court did what it's supposed to do, which is follow the law. And follow the law, and now as a result of that and constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, we now know that millions of Americans are going to be able to see a doctor, receive the preventative health care they need, and to me, probably the most important thing is that no matter who you are in this country, you have a right and you will be able to get affordable, quality health care.
And that's why I am a bit confused as I listen to candidate Romney talk about repealing it on day one, which we both know he can't do, so let's be clear about that. But as we look at how the Republicans are responding to this, there's going to be a vote on July 11th to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act as we know it. I don't understand. What is it the Republicans looking to do? Do they want a sicker, unhealthy America that doesn't have access, that continues to be burdened by medical debt? Or do they want a healthier, happier, proactive America that says, you know what, no matter what happens, Congressman Gary Peters, I know that I will be able to take care of my family, my children, that no matter what my pre-existing conditions are, I can no longer be denied access to health care. I don't understand what kind of America they want.
Well, it's pretty clear that it's an America that will not do any of those things that you just mentioned. In fact, they're talking about a repeal. They want to relitigate this thing. And when they repeal the Affordable Health Care Act, they're not replacing it with anything of any substance whatsoever. We know that health care costs continue to rise, make it more and more difficult for every American to afford it. A big part of the affordable health care cost is to slow down that growth of increase so that everybody is not priced out of it. It's to make a more competitive insurance market, to allow private insurance companies to compete more aggressively, which is about as American as you can get. Good old-fashioned competition to keep the prices down, which currently does not occur. And then everybody can get it through the exchanges in 2014. Small business owners will be able to afford health insurance. Individuals who right now can't afford it will be able to afford it. And as a percentage of your income, you will pay in. And if it's more than that, there will be a subsidy and credits to make it affordable for you. So as you mentioned, everybody is covered. Children are covered. And even if you have a pre-existing condition, you will be able to get the coverage you need to protect yourself and your family. This is something that we have to do. I think the American people are tired of relitigating this thing. If they want to come bring back health care in a couple of weeks, our reply is we need jobs. We got to get the economy going. Let's stop having this debate. It's settled. The Supreme Court has said it is constitutional. Let's move forward. If we've got to make some improvements into the law, we're all for that, but we've got to move forward. We can't go backward. And we got to get back on the main track, which is making sure our economy gets as healthy as possible and we're creating jobs.
Well, it's fascinating. You talk about creating jobs as even Republicans are going back home and running for reelection. And, we'll be honest about it. You're running for reelection too, Congressman Peters. So, you're, of course, dialoguing with your constituents, and so are Republicans. They have to go home and do that, too. All of a sudden, we're beginning to hear from a Republican here or there that maybe it's time for compromise. Because what they're finding out when they go home, Gary Peters, is that their constituents need jobs, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's got to be the focus. Right now, we're still dealing with a Republican majority that is focused on ideology, not about practical problem solving. And certainly you see that with the Affordable Care Act here. Here we've got an issue. We know we've got to deal with health care in this country. We've got to keep the cost down. We've got to make it affordable for everybody. Everybody needs to be protected. And rather than trying to find practical problems, or practical solutions, rather, to the problems that we have, they're just completely set on this ideology that just wants to throw it out. I think the American people are getting tired of that, and I hope they get tired of it and show it very clearly at election time that we need people who are solving problems and are moving the country forward, not constantly relitigating past battles. We need to move forward.
Well, your office was kind enough yesterday to pass along to me 2.5-3 pages of what the Affordable Care Act is already doing for us, not to us, for us. And we just had a guest on that talked about what happens come 2014 and 2015 and all of the wonderful things that will happen. And it just seems to me, everyone's talking about this tax increase that isn't a tax increase. The president talked to George Stephanopoulos about that back in March. Congressman, I guess we just need to be careful that we don't listen to just one side of this story, that we maybe do a little bit of our own homework. And I'll even suggest this. If people don't believe what you're saying, go out and prove Gary Peters wrong.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And I think that is really the big deal, is just getting the facts. And as I'm out in the community and hold town hall meetings, and when you go through the facts and some of the things that you mentioned, like keeping, making sure that children under 26 can still have access to health insurance through their parents, making prescription drugs more affordable, particularly helping senior citizens in the donut hole, making sure that seniors have access to screenings and preventative medicine and they don't have co-pays. And the list goes on of things that are happening right now. People are enjoying those benefits. And as you mentioned, in 2014, when the insurance exchange kicks in, the most popular feature of this Affordable Care Act by far, the fact that you can get insurance even if you have a pre-existing condition and you can buy it at a reasonable price to the exchange and be able to get credits to make sure it's affordable. But once that happens, people are going to understand this is a very good law, something that we needed to do a long time. And it's unbelievable we don't have something like this, given that every other major industrialized country in the world has comprehensive health care programs within their country. And we're just getting there. And yet the Republicans want to take us back and dismantle it. So it shows that they are out of touch with the problems that regular folks face every day. And are unwilling to try to find practical solutions.
Well, thank God that there is a Supreme Court that understands the law. I'd love it very quickly. Speaking of the law, yesterday your Republican colleagues held a vote to hold our Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. How did you respond to that, Congressman?
Well, actually, we walked out. I joined my colleagues and walked out. We refused to have a vote. This is just a political vote that we should not be doing. As we talked about the issues of jobs and moving the country forward, instead of that, the Republicans are focused on this sideshow and trying to hold Eric, or the Attorney General, in contempt, which makes no sense. There's no evidence that he's holding back any evidence whatsoever that is important to this case. In fact, what the Republicans want to do is try to get evidence that should be protected because it's ongoing criminal investigations. You know, it's a political sideshow. They don't want to focus on the problems that our country is facing. They don't want to focus on the need to make sure that we have an economy that's creating jobs for people. Instead, they're in a political sideshow, and we're not going to participate in that. So we walked out of that. And if they want to have a hearing, and we do believe an investigation is warranted into those practices, but you've got to have fair investigation, bring in all of the witnesses and folks, including back in the Bush administration where this all started.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock. I got to let you go. Thanks for your leadership. We'll talk again. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We're watching our first accident of the morning on 75 northbound at Dearborn Street, where your left lane is blocked by a two-vehicle collision there. Also, we got heavy traffic on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 split. And don't forget about those left lanes closed in each direction until 3 o'clock on Belleville Road over 94 and Hagerty over 94. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Spice up your night with the new Spicy Chicken McBites. Poppable pieces of juicy chicken breast with a spicy taste. Most locations open 24 hours. Participation varies. Only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
Organized labor is hailing the Supreme Court decision upholding the Affordable Care Act. SEIU President Mary Kay Henry says the Supreme Court rejected the cynical politics of Republicans opposed to health care reform, and working people want a resounding victory. National Nurses United says the ruling shouldn't be the end of healthcare activists' efforts to find a permanent fix for America's broken healthcare system. The Nurses Union says it will step up a campaign for a universal healthcare program based on patient need, nonprofits, or ability to pay, a Medicare for all. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says now that the Affordable Care Act has been upheld, healthcare has been put within reach of working families, and they will be able to get treatment they need without battling big insurance companies. Families USA was one of the many organizations that have been arguing for the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. Shortly after the Supreme Court ruling came down, Executive Director Ron Pollack held a conference call to tout what the upholding of the act meant.
No longer will they be able to charge a discriminatory premium based on health status, like an adult who may have high blood pressure. No longer will an insurance company be able to discriminate against women in the premiums they charge exclusively because of their agenda.
In May, Workers Independent News was in Washington, D.C. for the Affordable Care Act hearings. At that time, we spoke with National Medical Association President Dr. Cedric Bright about why his organization was supporting the legislation.
The law helps to catch the vulnerable people, to be able to have safety net for our vulnerable people who fall through the cracks. The law does not allow for insurance to deny any type of patient's coverage who have pre-existing conditions. The law does not allow for insurance to cancel your coverage when you actually get sick. The law actually has the ability for you to continue to get care where in the past there were limits on how much care you could receive.
One aspect of the act that isn't discussed very often is how it will specifically benefit women. Some 19 million women are currently uninsured, but in 2014, part of the law kicks in that will make Medicaid available to 10.3 million women. Women, on average, pay higher rates for health insurance, but part of the law now prohibits insurance companies from charging based on gender ratings. Additionally, the law takes a big leap when it comes to maternity laws in the United States. Businesses with more than 50 employees will now be required to allow nursing women to take a break for the purpose of relieving breast milk.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
You know, lots of things have changed in the last 40 years. I want to read to you something that was placed into law 40 years ago this week. And it read like this. No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Now, based on the political climate today and just reading that, you'd go, okay, well, no big deal. Well, that no big deal was Title IX. It just celebrated, thank God, its 40th anniversary. And I read, by virtue of Jeff Radford's excellent work, an article this week that immediately got my attention, and I immediately turned to him and said, book this author. The article was titled, Don't Like Sports, Three Other Reasons to Be a Fan of Title IX, and that author is my next guest. Joining us is Bryce Covert. Bryce is a writer and editor living in New York. She is editor of the Roosevelt Institute's Next New Deal blog and a blogger for Forbes Women. Her writing has appeared on The Nation, The Atlantic, Good Magazine, Alternate, and others. Interest includes feminism, economic equality, and progressive politics. So she fits in here quite nicely. We welcome Bryce Covert to First Shift. Bryce, pleasure to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on 40 years of an attempt at equality. I'd like to say we're completely there. Well, we might be in some regard, but, you know, we've made progress, so I'll go with that.
Yeah, we've definitely made progress with Title IX. There's a lot of work left to be done in all of the areas where it's pushing for progress, but it's definitely been a huge success for women and has really started to push towards full equality in education.
Why did you feel, you know, and I get it, that people think of Title IX and they think of sports. We have actually done extensive work on this program and talked about how Title IX has been significant actually to protecting minorities, the LGBT community, and others. Title IX has actually been an important piece of legislation. I just read why, because it really is much more inclusive than people realize, Bryce.
Yes, you think of Title IX and you think of sports, and I wrote the article, as it says in the beginning, because while it has had a huge impact on female athletes, there were under 300,000 of them the year Title IX was passed, And then last year there were 3.2 million female athletes in school. So that's a huge, huge difference. But I am not personally a huge beneficiary of that part of it. I have never really had an interest in playing sports. I'm not terribly sporty. But there's lots of other reasons to love what it's done. It has opened up doors for women in terms of what kinds of educational courses they can take and where they end up going. It has raised their earnings and opened up new doors in terms of career paths. And last but definitely not least, it's also protected them, and as you're saying, LGBT youth and others from harassment at school, which has been really important, although there's still, like you said, a lot of work to be done there, for sure.
Well, you know, the first time that I did something on Title IX was well over a year ago, and we've only been on the air a little over a year, and it was over a year ago the first time we did something on Title IX, and I got an email from a woman that said, you know, because of Title IX, I actually got a college scholarship, and she went on to talk about that. But the point, and in fact, I printed out her email, and I still have it on my desk. And the reason I did that is there was this paragraph about opportunity. And people just don't understand what happens when you are barred or banned from opportunity that others have. And just be given the opportunity. See, you hear what I'm saying, Bryce? I'm not saying that somebody was given something the way we're given an opportunity. Nothing was handed to anybody here. They had to go out and earn it. And they did. And when I say they, I mean, in this case, women.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was no sort of mandated women telling women to go take computer classes or science classes, but what it did was it was opened up the opportunity for them to do so. You can remember back to sort of the 1950s home ec classes and the shop classes where girls were taught how to bake and keep home and be perfect mothers and all funneled into those classes. They were barred from taking shop classes and more hands-on science and technical classes because it was deemed inappropriate for women to be learning such things. Title IX had a huge impact on doing away with that and making sure that women can't be barred from certain classes because someone thinks it's inappropriate. And also boys can't be barred from certain classes. Boys can take cooking classes now if they so choose. So it's made a huge difference in terms of getting girls into what we call STEM classes, which is science and technology, engineering and math, which are hugely important fields for this country, particularly right now.
One of my favorite movies, and most people will either have seen it and go, huh, or not seen it and go, huh, is a movie with Julia Roberts called Mona Lisa's Smile. And the reason that it stands out for me is it deals with this. The movie takes place at a time where, you know, women were expected to, even in college, learn how to set a nice table. They were taught to cook or how to do laundry. Yes, in college they were being taught this stuff. And Bryce, as we look at the in this movie, of course, dealt with the challenges of those that didn't want that. As we take a look at how we've advanced, I'd like, again, I said we opened this up. You know, we're still not good. I mean, we're better, but I still don't think we've got it right.
No, and definitely the doors have been open, but there's a lot more that we need to do. You know, 3/4 of the students in higher education programs in computer sciences, engineering, and technology were men, most recently, so that's a problematic number. We need more women to be taking these courses, particularly because we have a lot of what you call occupational segregation, which means that if you think back to when the recession hit, men's jobs were hit because they're so concentrated in construction and engineering, and women's jobs tend to be more services, and that's occupational segregation. They're in different fields, and we need to get more men in women's fields and more women in men's fields, particularly that last one, though, because men's fields tend to pay a whole lot more. At the high skill level, they pay almost $500 more per week than the occupations where women tend to congregate. So clearly there's a lot of work to be done there, and it's very important, not just because we want diversity, but also because of that dollar number.
Well, it's interesting. Here you are in a field, journalism, that was once dominated by men. In fact, there's a great book that I read in a journalism class in college about women that use pseudonyms that were male names in order to break into journalism way back when. And so, you know, here you are. And in fact, some of my favorite journalists today, I'm happy to tell you, and some of them are actually on the show on a regular basis, are women. It's amazing to me that even something is certainly like journalism where you'd think, well, why would it matter what your gender is? And of course, Bryce, it wouldn't. And it's been just beyond competitive. It's been, well, downright discriminatory.
Definitely. Actually, if you take a look, we've made a lot of progress, but the organization VITA does a count every year on the byline gap between men and women at some of the highest magazines. And you can still see there's a huge gap. Women have pushed into a lot of fields and really taken advantage of a lot of opportunities. But it's clear that we still have some work to be done. I think when it comes to STEM field, science and technology, there's a lot of research that shows that it starts really early, that girls get this message that they're not supposed to be pursuing it, that maybe they're not good at it, they don't have as much confidence. So we have to encourage them and give them the opportunities they need to take advantage of those kinds of career paths from very, very early on.
You know, Bryce Covert, I've got to tell you, and by the way, Bryce has her own blog, and we're going to get a link to that up on the Facebook page because I think you'll all enjoy it a great deal. I know I spent way too much time there yesterday, and in fact, I got to bed a little late because of that. I really enjoyed the blog, but you know, it's interesting. I, in a very heartbreaking way, read an interview with Ann Curry earlier this week where she talked about not being good enough, and this had everything to do with being a woman. Now we know what happened yesterday; most of us do anyway. She was basically forced out. At the Today Show, I had a female caller call the show yesterday. See, Tony, you know, I can't watch it. I'm on the air when the Today Show's on, and they said, you know, she's just not very good. She's kind of boring. She's not a good interviewer, and that's a personal opinion. Maybe that is, maybe that isn't true. But to read that interview, where she says, "I have to ask myself if I'm good enough." Well, I don't think men do that. I think that if that were Matt Lauer that were to be kicked out, he would have sued. He would have said, his ego would have said, no, I'm better than any of them. What's this really about?
Yeah, and I think that women consistently, particularly when they get to the top ranks, have to overperform just to reach par with men. You know, we have a very hard time getting to the top. I mean, you think about female anchors, there haven't been many. Katie Couric is a big icon, but not a lot of them have made it there. And then once they do, there's a lot of pressure to be perfect and to overperform compared to their male peers. And I think when you don't, which is, you know, it's a very high bar, you can fall pretty quickly. And it's, you know, it happens in a lot of fields, and it's problematic. Women need to be able to rise in greater numbers. I think that takes the pressure off of the very few who make it there, and then the expectations need to be equalized with their male peers.
Well, you far exceeded my expectations, Bryce Covert. I want to thank you for being with us. Don't be surprised if you don't hear from us again.
Great. Thank you for having me on.
I appreciate it. Again, the article is titled "Don't Like Sports, Three Other Reasons to Be a Fan of Title IX." Bryce Covert was our guest. Great stuff. We'll get the blog posted to the Facebook page. We will take a break. Come back in a minute.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDPW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Bureau Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. It is my pleasure to welcome former Michigan Lieutenant Governor John Cherry.
I'm watching today and seeing some of the positive developments in Michigan right now, and has been for, better than a year, has been leading the nation in terms of recovery. I mean, it's a slow recovery nationally, but Michigan is outperforming the nation in that regard, and that's the result of many of the things that were done in our administration to help Michigan to survive this economic onslaught. And so you feel good about those sorts of things.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, welcome back. The Affordable Care Act is legitimized by the United States Supreme Court in an act of true bravery and, I would think, clarity and conscience. One of the most, if not the most, conservative member, although I think Clarence Thomas would be the most conservative member. Are you aware that since Clarence Thomas was confirmed by the United States Senate to the Supreme Court, that he has yet to utter a word on the bench? He does not talk. He sits and listens. Interesting. All right. On a substantive level, the arguments that we're going to hear are going to be about this is a tax, right? This is going to be another tax. And Obama lied. I just got an email from that asshat that never sends me a real email. Obama lied. He said we wouldn't tax the health care. Well, we're not. Of course, he's just watching Fox News and getting his information that way. But on a substantive level, as I was saying, this has all the sophistication, the argument anyway, of a second-grade spelling bee. But there's a fairly specific policy reason Republicans might think twice about the new rhetorical spin that they're going to use. And that reason is Romney Care. Many of us on my side of the aisle assume everyone knows by now that Obamacare and Romney Care are effectively the same policy, right? They share the same basic structure, including the individual mandate Romney used to be fond of. What happens in Massachusetts when somebody doesn't want to buy insurance? Does anybody know what happens? Yep, you guessed it. They pay a tax penalty, just like under the Affordable Care Act. And we played the audio a little bit earlier in the day today where the president talked to George Stephanopoulos about why this isn't a tax. That's like saying buying car insurance is a tax. It's not. In fact, if someone in Massachusetts refuses to buy insurance, they pay the penalty on their income tax, just like under the Affordable Care Act. So how you can call this a tax is beyond me. Of course, shortly after the Supreme Court's ruling on the Affordable Care Act, Mitt Romney, speaking with the U.S. Capitol in the background, all very patriotic looking, announced his disagreement with the court's majority and emphasized his vow to kill health care reform on my first day. Among other things, the Republican presidential hopeful insisted was that Obamacare raise taxes. It is, as it turns out, the talking point of the day on the right, bolstered unexpectedly by the Supreme Court's ruling itself. As the five-justice majority concluded, the individual mandate is less a forced purchase and more a tax penalty. So I understand where they're getting the talking point. I truly do. Conservatives have been saying for the last day, that means Obama raised taxes when he signed health care reform into law. Well, again, on a substantive level, we want to be substantive now, don't we? You got to be careful. I'm just saying, folks, as even, and I said this earlier, as Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, apparently trying to rub it in, I guess, wrote, Congress followed Massachusetts's lead. Everyone on the right who thinks the Supreme Court handed them a powerful talking point needs to realize that their presidential candidate, that would be Mitt Romney, is subject to the identical condemnation, right? If today's ruling means Obama raised taxes, then that also means, right, that Mitt Romney, as governor of Massachusetts, raised taxes too. Makes sense, doesn't it? I guess not. That's the problem with you Republicans. You only want the door to swing one way. It's kind of like only having one-way streets in any given town. You got to keep on taking a right-hand or a left-hand turn to get where you go. It takes a lot longer that way. You got to go a lot more blocks up in order to get to where you need to go. Does anybody really want to live in a community where there are only one-way streets? That's the Republican world. That's the world they live in. They only have one-way streets. They only have doors that open in.
And they only turn right.
And they only turn right. Well, we know that's true. It's a little bit scary when you stop and think about what they're really clamoring for. What are, you know, Jeff, I'll ask the question again. If we repeal what the Affordable Care Act does, we are uninsuring millions of Americans. Do they not get that? Does this audience not get that? Do the Republicans that are sending me these stupid emails not get that?
But the funny thing is, and I've never heard Mitt exactly say this, but the Republicans that want to repeal and replace are bringing up the same things that Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act already have. So you're replacing it with the same thing. You're just trying to get rid of the Obama part of it.
Yeah, that's the part. And of course, you're talking more specifically about pre-existing conditions because that's Mitt's big thing, right? I mean, how many times did we hear it this morning? Mitt Romney talking. You and I were auditioning audio. How many conversations was he having about pre-existing conditions? And what is the one major plus of Obamacare? Covering people with pre-existing conditions. It also eliminates lifetime medical caps. Do you know what a relief that is for somebody that has cancer or MS, Jeff? Can you imagine having $1 million cap on your lifetime insurance and then getting diagnosed with multiple sclerosis? I mean, you can live for years with it, but it's a very expensive disease to have. So all of a sudden now you don't need to worry about that. Don't you think that that gives somebody a little relief? I just don't understand what are the Republicans looking for. And if they are going to replace it, Jeff, I want a plan. Isn't that fair? Let's talk about the plan. But they don't seem to have one. I didn't have a chance. Eric Cantor was on the Morning Joe this morning. I didn't have a chance, of course, to even read the crawl at the bottom, the closed captioning. So I have no idea what the hell he was talking about. I'm sure it wasn't positive. Every time I turn around, even MSNBC, who's supposedly leans more liberal, you know, had at the very bottom of the screen, how will we deal with the new health care tax? What health care tax? There is no health care tax. We can't allow the right to co-opt this. Now, last but not least, before we break for the top of the hour, By the way, Joe DeSano just tweeted that we may be breaking news this morning. And he always knows more than I do.
I think he means break stuff because he's angry at
something. Well, with Joe, that is always possible. And thank God he's not in studio today.
Right. We don't want anything broken.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, and this stuff's expensive, too, and I'd have to pay for it. Anyway, I'll just leave you, ladies and gentlemen, with a simple idea. A simple idea. This is really quite charming in its own way. If we allow Mitt Romney to be elected president of the United States, he wants to undo almost anything that Barack Obama has done. He's going to have such a busy first day, that first day will have to last about 3 weeks. Chew on that. Let's take a break. I need more coffee. And then Joe DeSano when we come back. Stay with us.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
We're watching our first accident of the morning on 75 northbound at Dearborn Street, where your left lane is blocked by a two-vehicle collision there. Also, we got heavy traffic on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 split. And don't forget about those left lanes closed in each direction until 3 o'clock on Belleville Road over 94 and Hagerty over 94. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Not so fast, say top Republicans. House Speaker John Boehner says the Supreme Court will not have the last word on President Obama's health care law.
There's a lot of resolve amongst our colleagues and amongst the American people to stop a law that's hurting our economy, driving up the cost of health care, and making it more difficult for employers to hire new workers.
House Republicans have scheduled a vote next month to try to repeal the law. Democrats and Republicans are getting closer on a highway student loan package that sponsors say could create 3 million jobs while keeping loan rates affordable. How hot is it? A record heat wave will continue to toast much of the nation throughout the weekend, and that forced some cities and towns to scrap plans for 4th of July fireworks. And a world record for the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, making Latvia her 100th country visited since she took office. According to the State Department, that's more than any of her 66 predecessors. This is NBC News Radio. Battleground Colorado, as thousands of firefighters continue their marathon against wildfires that continue to rage out of control. NBC's Miguel Almaguer in Colorado Springs.
The most destructive wildfire in Colorado history has claimed at least one life and 346 homes. Late Thursday night, many families learned their homes are gone.
President Obama visits the fire lines later today. Chicago's Midway Airport back in business after a power outage knocked out runway lights. Dozens of flights had to be diverted. World markets are sharply higher on a deal in Europe to shore up banks and bring down borrowing costs. Wall Street hailing the news, stock futures sharply higher. And the latest buzz on beauty? Bee venom. Apparently the stuff that stings is effective in plumping up lips, smoothing skin, and as a treatment for scarring. But is bee venom this year's snake oil? So far there's little science, just a lot of hype. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Right now, with the Home Depot's red, white, and blue savings, get two 13.9-pound bags of Kingsford charcoal for just $6.88. Spend your 4th of July with tongs in hand and grill ablaze. And even if you like your steaks medium rare, you'll know your holiday was well done. Because of that special buy on 2 bags of Kingsford charcoal, just $6.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Regulators looking into events surrounding Facebook's botched first day of public trading back on May 18th may order the NASDAQ stock exchange to overhaul its trading system. Wall Street Journal says the Securities and Exchange Commission is considering mandated revamps of technologies used in IPOs. Such an order from the SEC would prove costly but also embarrassing to the NASDAQ, which prides itself on being at the front end of market technology innovation. Global stock markets look great right now. Asian indexes closed with advances of 1.5% to 2%. European markets are up 2% to as much as 3% right now. All this after the European Union struck a deal to make monetary stimulus easier and quicker to implement. U.S. investors like the news. S&P futures up 18 points. NASDAQ futures up 35. Dow futures up 130. The hope from Europe is gassing up the oil market. In early electronic trades, oil gaining $2.50 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera. With intelligent printers and MFPs, customized apps and services, Kyocera helps companies run more profitably.
Yeah. Dr. Marie,
so go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Learn more at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com, where you can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera.
Dr. Morisi. So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Doctor. Learn more about Kyocera technology like the 50-page per minute Task Alpha 5550 CI Color MFP at Kyocera.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now, as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
Hello, welcome. I am the change agent. And I am honored to have my next guest, who we will be connecting with in just a minute. And we've actually already connected with him, but we'll bring him on to the show in just a minute. We've got a lot to do, a lot to talk about today. There's some big news in our offering. Congratulations to all Michiganders and all Americans, whether you're listening on the terrestrial radio station, 1310 WDTW, or you're listening through the website at thetonyshow.org or on iHeartRadio. You are all positively affected by a ruling by the Supreme Court yesterday that prevailed some common sense in this country and allows many, many people, especially those with young children or people with the pre-existing conditions, seniors who are caught in this donut hole that literally forces them to decide between food and medicine. You don't think that happens. It does happen, and it doesn't just happen to old people either. It happens to younger people as well every single day. This is a victory. What happened yesterday is a victory for all of us, and we should be celebrating it instead of debating. I can't say that without getting taken off the air. Okay, we'll move on. Give us an intro, guys. Let's get going.
With his razor-sharp precision.
I think Democrats have the ability and track record to eat their own like no one I've ever seen.
First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
I would just point to my life and career. I've never felt that I've had a mentor. I've never felt that too many doors have been opened up on my behalf. I felt like I've barged the doors open.
Partner in Main Street Strategies,
Mr. Joe DeSano.
All right, so we'll start the show. He says he's never had a mentor. But has he ever had a tour mentor? That's the real question. Joe DeSano, welcome back to First Shift.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
It's been a good day. It's easy to do a show when we got news like we got yesterday.
Yeah, it don't suck.
No, it don't suck. You're right. It don't suck at all. Well, a lot to get to, and you just tell me where you want to start, because I'm in. I'm all in on everything you sent me yesterday.
Well, I tell you what, we've got to keep our guard up because we've had stealth Democrats, which is Republicans getting elected in Democratic primaries. It happened with Andy Dillon. There's been other folks, like, for example, last week when we talked about Lesia Liss. I mean, clearly she's a stealth Republican. And there is another one out there. But we have an opportunity to stop him from being elected. We have a gentleman in Michigan's 11th district, which is like Garden City, parts of Dearborn Heights, who is running as a Democrat, running what seems to be a very aggressive campaign, very well-funded Democratic primary campaign, who... until recently, this gentleman was an intern with the campaign of Governor Romney.
How the hell does that happen?
I think it's a mix of hubris. I think it's a mix of a little bit of mental illness to think that you can get away with this and no one's going to notice. This gentleman's name's Cody Bailey. He is a dyed-in-the-wool, far-right-wing Republican who's decided that I want to be elected, and he happens to live in a Democratic district. So as these stealth candidates often do, they take on the cloak of the dominant party in their region, whether they agree with that party on anything or not, thus Andy Dillon, thus Lesia Liss, and frankly, far too many really to mention over the years. But we have an opportunity here to stop this in dead in its tracks by working and supporting the candidate in the race who is the real Democrat, David Kinesic, who is a an Iraq veteran. And a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He's everything Cody Bailey isn't.
Now, it's interesting. And so the people understand, when you have a radio show, and it's a political, those that run for office start to nag you pretty early on in the process about getting on your show. And I've got certain rules about who gets on and who doesn't. I get to bend the rules because it's my show, Joe, and but I try to be very fair about it. This kid, because I think he's 17 or 18 years old, Cody Bailey.
I think he's like 22 or 23.
All right, but you got to admit, he looks like he's 11. I mean, he looks really young. He does. He looks really young. I, very early on, did not have... He was sending me emails, and I was reading them but thinking, you know what, it's November, the election's not for another year, it's a little early for me to be doing this. So I basically sent him a nice note and said, hey, listen, it's too early for me to be doing this. In the meantime, my friend Harvey Santana sits down with me some months later and says, hey, listen, there's a young button man by the name of Dave Kinesic. He's going to be running in the new 11th. He's going to have a primary, but, you know, he's the real deal. He's a great kid. Well, my son Anthony happens to know Dave Kinesic, and I ask Anthony about him. He tells me what he knows, and all is well and good. All is well and good, Joe DeSano, until I start doing a little research, because it's my job to do that. All of a sudden, I find out, now you really educated me last night, but all of a sudden I find out that Cody Bailey isn't all he seems to be. And when they're little red flags, but when they start popping up and you're paying attention, you do get a little concerned. And here is the red flag that I knew about, that was he even really from the district to begin with? And he was.
No, I think he's from like Woodhaven or something.
Right. And so he's an opportunist, is what he is.
Yeah, he actually is. He had filed to run as a Democrat against Patrick Somerville down in the most southern area of Wayne County. But let's look at some of the things that he's written just recently. This is a Facebook status of his. Cody Bailey is optimistic and a Romney Republican.
Yeah.
Knows it takes 4 years of Carter to get 8 years of Reagan. Sarah Palin, one of the greatest vice president nominees ever. Go McCain Palin. I agree with Mitt. Let Detroit go bankrupt. Great article. Go Mitt.
Let me ask you a question. Is this guy
a spider corner too?
Well, but again, is this guy at least pro union? I mean, do we see that he's doing? You know, that he's is he getting union endorsements? What's going on with that?
Well, he has gotten some political endorsements. State Senator Glenn Anderson has supported him.
Okay.
I figured that Glenn must not know the whole story. Doesn't have the whole history.
Shame on Glenn, because you shouldn't endorse a candidate unless you know something about him.
You asked a question about unions. This is very interesting. It talks about how great Dave Bing is and his willingness. He applauds Bing's willingness to, quote, take on the unions, even in the state and city with the strongest unions. So he's very hostile to organized labor and working families, no question about that. He's also a member of Michelle Reed's Student First, which is extremely anti-union. And then he also attacked the local UAW for having the gall to endorse David Kinesic.
Now, when I read that, first of all, I'll give Cody a pass on this. I'm going to blame that on his campaign. I'd love to have his campaign manager on this show. I would love to have the guy on the show. I've got about 4,000 questions for that piece of crap bag. But with that said, we need to be, voters, this happens to, by the way, be in my area. This is my district. We need to be very careful that we don't allow this kid, who also writes on his Facebook status about getting drunk and wanting booze and so on. And listen, you know, I'm all for having a drink or two or three every now and then, Joe DeSano, but I don't know that I want my candidates on their Facebook page telling me that that's what they're doing on Friday night.
Well, there's that. But also, you know, it's interesting. One of his, he criticizes Kinesic's service in Iraq, tries to make some allegations about his service, and then he says about himself that he's tested and proven. Hey, look, there ain't no 22-year-old that's tested and proven. It's completely, completely ridiculous. And so, you know, here's the thing. We can identify who this guy is, we can go to work, and we can kneecap him.
Well, that's then what we do. We need to take a quick break here. Joe, don't go away. And I'm not done talking about Cody Bailey. Actually, I'm not done talking about Dave Kinesic. I think more importantly, that's where we need to go with this. Everybody stay where they're at. Joe DeSana with us. He's a partner, of course, with Main Street Strategies. And we'll take the break and come back. Lots to do on this Friday program. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's head over to 75 southbound. Just before West Road, you got an accident that has a car in the right ditch in the construction zone. We got some slow traffic on 696 westbound between Coolidge and Southfield Road. And on 75 northbound between Rosa Parks and the Lodge, it's a slow go there. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Ed Montgomery. Ed was appointed by this White House as Director for Recovery for Auto Communities and Workers.
Take Michigan, for example. Since July of 2009, manufacturing has added about 161,000 jobs. Of that 161,000, half of those jobs have come in the manufacturing sector. So, you know, half of our progress in Michigan has been through the rebirth of manufacturing. I think you can't underestimate the importance of automobiles, which stimulates not only bringing back people in the auto factory, but all up and down the supply chain, the people who make the glass, the people who make the steel, in terms of revitalizing manufacturing altogether. And that's really comes from the president's policies and leadership.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, nothing wrong with recruiting candidates to run for office. Harvey Santana did it on this very show. In fact, you'll recall, ladies and gentlemen, that as he was doing the program that particular day, people, because he gave out his cell phone number, people actually called him. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. Joe DeSano, I welcome you back to the program. You know, I've learned while we've been talking through a source that I trust that Glenn Anderson actually recruited Cody Bailey to run for this House seat. And I begin to wonder, as I know that he has an alliance with somebody that has fallen out of favor in my world, Richard LeBlanc, a state representative, who I believe is also a Republican in Democrats' clothing, that we have a real problem here. We have a serious problem here. What kind of person would recruit a carpetbagger, the closeted Republican, at 21 years old to run for a critical House seat here in the state of Michigan? I'm very concerned now about Glenn and Richard and this Cody Bailey kid.
Well, let me tell you, I want to give Glenn the benefit of the doubt. I really want to, but this source who contacted both you and I during the break, actually during during the last segment, is someone I trust with anything.
Absolutely.
I would trust this person with the life of my child. That is the quality of the individual here. So, clearly people are going to hear about what we're talking about, and I'm sure you'll give Glenn the opportunity to rebut this if it's not true.
Well, I will tell you, I just heard from Representative Harvey Santana, who just asked if he could bring David Kinesic with him on Monday for his regular monthly segment, and I certainly told him yes, he should do that.
I think that's a lovely idea. Good on Harvey. Now, here's the deal. If this is true, we have a significant problem that if Glenn Anderson is trying to build a Western Wayne County Republican machine under the guise of the Democratic Party. Because you've got a situation where it's quite possible that Glenn Anderson is a United States Congressman in 4 weeks. Okay? That could happen. Okay?
Yeah, you've got a situation. I'm listening. This is my district.
You've got a situation where a dirtbag like Richard LeBlanc is unopposed in his race for the Wayne County Commission and is going to walk in January without having to do anything to campaign or, probably more importantly, do anything to strengthen the local Democratic Party. And now it's becoming very clear that this kid, Cody Bailey, is on their team. And I hope this is not true. I want to give Glenn the benefit of the doubt, okay? But I think we have to have our guard up. We can't trust this. We can't take this at face value. We have to spend some time looking at what's going on underneath. And I think clearly we've identified what is going on. Now the question is, what can we do about it?
Well, before we go there, let me ask you this question. As you know, I say on this show very often, there are three words that I go back to: follow the money. What do we know about Cody Bailey's fundraising?
It's interesting. He's a self-funder, it seems like. He's also received a significant amount of money from his campaign manager. So I'm kind of curious how that works, since there is a contribution limit at play here. So he's good. He's told folks that he's going to spend up to $60,000 in this race. Just to give you an example, the previous incumbent only spent $12,000 in the last race. So clearly he's trying to buy this election, which, you know, it's a strategy I certainly like to get behind. But I think it also makes him extremely, extremely dangerous here. And so that's one of the reasons we need to be very wary of this situation and get to work stopping it from going any further.
Yeah, people need to understand in this race, whoever wins the primary wins the general. So I want to make sure that we make that clear. And so this really is about August 7th. Is that correct, Joe? Am I seeing that properly?
Let me tell you, I have a great analogy for this. Is like vampires. These stealth Republicans are like vampires. We have to invite them into our house before they can get in.
Well, I just got a text, and I'm not going to identify who it's from, that says that Richard LeBlanc is supporting David Kinesic, that he was going to be supporting somebody that didn't end up running.
Yeah, I've heard that LeBlanc up here in Lansing has been bad-mouthing Cody Bailey. But that still doesn't exonerate LeBlanc from his own voting record.
Although there's no question that's true.
And clearly there is a LeBlanc, Glenn Anderson access at work. Whether LeBlanc's on board for the whole enchilada, up for debate.
No, and it's something we need to debate. Okay, let's go back to something, and because after the break we need to move on. But let's go. You said there is something we can do about it, and that's, of course, support David Kinesic, who now we know will be on this very program Monday morning at 7 a.m. What else can we do, Joe?
Well, I mean, first of all, we should define what support is. You should raise money for the gentleman. You should contribute to the gentleman, Mr. Kinesic, who's a veteran of Iraq. And you should go door-to-door for David Kinesic. You can tell your friends and family in the 11th District what's really going on here, what's at stake here. There's so many things that you can do. Some of them are free. Word of mouth, that's free. But I tell you what, I think people should dig into their pockets, put their money where their mouth is, and make sure that people are aware of what's going on here. And help David Kinesic build the financial structure he needs to beat back stealth Republicans.
In fact, we'll find his campaign website, and we'll post that to the Facebook page. If some of you would be so kind as to consider donating to his campaign. Speaking of donations, is it true that Cody Bailey has actually donated to Republican causes, including Governor Snyder?
Yeah, actually, I mentioned the Snyder donation real quickly in the last segment, but yes, he's absolutely on board with the Snyder agenda. Just one more reason we've got to kneecap this guy.
Yeah, there's no question. Joe, we've got to take a quick break, as we, of course, always do at this time, but we just need to move on, and we will not let go of this. So what you need, I don't need you to remember anybody's name but David Kinesic, and we're going to get him posted to the Facebook page. That's the name you need to remember. I don't care where you live. You can donate to his campaign.
Hey, Joe, you know what? Let me give my cell phone number out, because I'll put you in touch with the campaign if you have to. If you can't spell Kinesic, which is kind of difficult, you can reach me at 517-974-8352, and I'll put you in touch.
All right. Let's take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute, let's head over to 75 northbound just before John R., where you have an accident reported on the right shoulder. On the Southfield Freeway southbound at 96, you got a disabled vehicle that's blocking the right side of the ramp to 96 westbound. And you got some slow traffic on 75 southbound between 696 and 8 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Madeline Kunin.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
And now for some happy talk, by which I mean a non-corporate, little-d democratic, and altogether pleasurable economic development that's spreading across our country. In a word, beer. More specifically, craft breweries are flourishing from Maine to Oregon, with happy hopheads in town after town now able to boast of their own local, unique, zesty, and fun batch of suds. While Anheuser-Busch, now owned by a German conglomerate, and Miller Coors, partially owned by Canadians, still dominate America's beer market, sales of the nondescript national brands have soured in recent years. But innovative small-batch hometown yeast wranglers have tapped a burgeoning market of brewski lovers who are reaching for the real gusto. Since 2004, craft beers have doubled their share of the U.S. market. Some 250 upstart breweries opened last year alone, bringing their total number to nearly 2,000. This has been a true populist economic phenomenon. Consumers and artisans have found each other and spontaneously created an alternative, locally based economy that helps sustain themselves and their community, rather than having their money siphoned out by faraway profit takers. Of course, the big boys are slyly trying to sink their own taps into the craft success of the small guys. Budweiser and Miller, for example, are now marketing pretend craft beers, having bought such once local brands as Chicago's Goose Island and Wisconsin's Leinenkugel. Unabashed by this consumer deception, however, a Miller spokesman sniffed, "We don't concern ourselves with what someone else defines as a craft brewer." Wow, sounds like Miller's man quaffed one too many mugs of a genuine local beer from San Diego called Arrogant Bastard. This is Jim Hightower saying, when in doubt about whether a local beer is really local, ask the locals.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday morning. Joe DeSanto with me. He is a partner in the political strategy firm of Main Street Strategies. And we now move on, although we could probably spend the rest of our time with what we were talking about. Best we move on. A couple of stories that I definitely want to get to. One of them ends up in that incredulous category, like, he said what? But we'll get to that in a minute. Before we go there, though, you'll remember former Democrat turned Republican Roy Schmidt, and we announced on last week's program that he would be running against a write-in candidate by the name of Winnie Brinks. Winnie Brinks. Well, Joe DeSanto's here to give us an update on just how that race looks as of right now. Joe, what's going on in that district?
Well, there's been some pretty shocking developments. There's been some recent polling done in the district that shows that the party switch by Roy Schmidt has not been fully appreciated by the residents of the new district. The polling shows that Winnie Brinks has up to a 40-point lead over Roy Schmidt.
Are you
now,
serious?
I, you know what? That's what the polling says. I'm not sure that I necessarily believe that. Let's just say I have some maybe better information that is – more accurate.
Okay.
That shows this race in a very, very competitive place. Roy Schmidt has gotten the race he was trying to avoid. You know, it's really funny. if the Republicans are going to have to spend a couple hundred grand, $300,000, $400,000, maybe $500,000 to save his bacon. And I'm not sure they're inclined to do it because it's just another seat to them.
And I'm not sure it's going to matter.
Well, you know, it may not matter. It may not matter. So we got a situation where, you know, there's a lesson to be learned here. Okay, there's a moral lesson, which we all are in agreement, you don't do things like this. Okay, but there's also a political lesson at play. And the political lesson to me is if you're introducing yourself to a new group of voters, and that's what this is not a district that Rory Schmidt has represented or has a great relationship with the majority of, they don't know who he is. So if you're introducing yourself to a larger, broader, new audience, the lesson I would take from it is don't introduce yourself as a traitor, as someone that can't be trusted. The best analogy I have for it is, you know, this is like looking for a long-term faithful relationship by trolling on AshleyMadison.com.
Hmm.
Okay? You're not going to get what you're looking for here. And people remember, and people's first memory of Roy Schmidt is always going to be, oh, he's the dirtbag that switched parties at the last possible minute. And there's far more to this than just the switching parties. He's out of sync with that district. And I think this polling data and some of the other data I've seen shows that very, very much. So, you know, he tried to avoid a competitive race. He wasn't going to get a competitive race if he stayed as a Democrat. The Republicans weren't going to be able to find a quality candidate. Very simply, at that time, Roy Schmidt was sitting on too much money. So he flips parties, thinking, okay, I'll get a committee, a chairmanship out of this. I'll coast through November. I don't have to lift a finger. I can sit on a boat and drink beer. Instead, he's going to have to spend this sweltering summer knocking doors, explaining to voters just how what a dirtbag he really is. And these indications show that he's going to meet a very interesting response at the doors if that's the route he goes.
Well, you know, and let me just throw this out there, because it seems to me that if I live in this district, it's not about Republican and Democrat. And I'm thinking the polling numbers, whether they're true or not, what they say to me is that this is personal for these people, Joe.
Well, these poll results are showing that this is a moral decision, not a political
decision. Thank
you. This is morally wrong.
Yeah,
this is a man without morals, puts his personal political agenda over what's important for these voters and these folks in Grand Rapids.
I think you framed that beautifully. Thank you.
Why, thank you, sir.
No problem. Listen, I got to tell you, we had an interesting week. We had earlier this week Bridget McCormick on the show, who, as you know, is a candidate for the Michigan State Supreme Court and the current communications director or spokesperson for the Michigan Republican Party, was listening and tweeting about it. I want to thank again Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com for having our back that day. It's really hard for me to do an interview and tweet at the same time. She was just graceful. But it just seems that now the former spokesperson of the Michigan Republican Party is in my life. I don't know what it is about these spokespeople, but let's go there. And I got to ask the question, what the hell did Matt Davis do?
Matt Davis circulated an email to media contacts yesterday where, in the wake of the Supreme Court decision affirming the Affordable Care Act, called for armed revolution against the United States government. Now, in all fairness, Matt Davis walked those comments back considerably, claimed that it was an email draft he sent out. I think it's much more likely that someone went to his office, put a gun to his head, and said, "You can't do this." I think that's the far more likely option. But I have to give Matt Davis credit. I mean, I've been on his radio show. He's always treated me kindly, so I can't badmouth him too much. But he showed an incredible lack of judgment yesterday afternoon. I hope that's really not at his heart what he really thinks, although I suppose it's possible. But on another hand, I've got to give him credit for pulling it back from the brink, because what he did was create a incredible problem for the Republican Party, because now people like you and me rightly could say, this is what the Republican mainstream thinks. This is what they really think. He defined the far right fringe rhetoric. And he is a legitimate political actor. He's not some freakazoid Tea Party guy.
No, you're 100% accurate. I mean, this, again, he's the former spokesperson for the Michigan Republican Party.
Up to 6 months ago.
Thank you.
Up to 6 months ago. So this is not some fringy guy. This is not some idiot blathering on Facebook like a Cody Bailey. This is a legitimate guy who has standing within the Michigan Republican Party. So I'm hoping that he came to a senses of his own making and has purged himself of this irrational hatred and anger. Okay. I think it's more likely though that someone, you know, interceded and said you're taking us down. You're giving the Republicans, you're giving Mark Brewer a big stick to hit us with. And I think that's what happened. Although I'm going to be positive and I like Matt Davis. I mean, I'm hoping on a personal level that this was just an error and a mistake. So anyways, there you have it. The far right fringe has spoken, and it's a lot more mainstream Republican thought than I think most people understand.
Now, I begin to wonder. I've been watching people like Michelle Bachmann or others. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen from legitimate Republican spokespeople saying, in fact, one of the tweets from last night said, I lost two friends yesterday, John Roberts and America. Come on. You lost two friends, John Roberts and America? Really? That's what happened yesterday when the Supreme Court made that decision? A little bit too dramatic for me, Joe.
They are completely off the deep end. They have completely lost perspective. They're slaves to their ideology. We need to remember that. And to go back to what we talked about previously, we've got to purge ourselves of the folks from that point of view who are trying to infiltrate our house.
Well, there's no question, as we look at what needs to happen come November, let me go back to Dave Kinesic for a moment. I think this is a great example where you can actually vote somebody into office that represents a point of view that most of us would be quite comfortable supporting. He also would be the kind of guy that if you, and we'll interview him on Monday, people will get a feel for this, but he's the kind of guy that you could actually pick up the phone and say, hey, can I talk to you about an issue that matters? And then he'll actually listen to that call.
I've not met him. I think we exchanged emails maybe last year, but by all accounts, he's a stand-up guy, and we've got to encourage that.
Well, I briefly met him at the AFL-CIO Christmas party last year in Lansing, and very respectable guy. And David Hecker introduced him to me, and Harvey Santana introduced him to me. And, you know, he's just, we'll meet him on Monday so people can decide for themselves. Joe, we're out of time. I'm sorry. We love you, but we're out of time. I'm glad that you were with us today. We had a great show today.
Yeah, we had a good time, and the previous segments were great, too.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you again next Friday. And in the meantime, have a great week.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. He and Todd Cook, two smart people. All right, we'll take a break and wrap it up for this week. On the other side, stay right where you're at. There's so much stuff to do.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and it's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already seceded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools. They've already moved away from us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, we got to get ready to wrap things up for this week. I do want to let you know that there is a fundraiser in the Detroit area this evening for the Obama-Biden campaign. It is at a private residence. The speaker will be a Democratic National Committee chairwoman and congresswoman from Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. If you would like information on that fundraiser, and I will let you know that the minimum amount to go is $50, send me an email and I will email you the information. When it's at a private residence, I really don't like giving out that information on the radio without having prior permission from that individual. So I will get the information to you if so this is something that you would like to attend. So just let me know. Send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. Looking ahead at Monday's program, State Representative Harvey Santana, as we were saying earlier, will be with us. He will be bringing with him David Kinesic, who is a candidate in the 11th House District. So we'll look forward to meeting David. And, of course, we always look forward to having Harvey on the show. We didn't mention, but we will on Monday, he has challenged Detroit City Councilman and President, Detroit City Council President Charles Pugh to race in a marathon, which, of course, those of you that have been following Charles Pugh know he's lost 60 pounds. He got into a pissing match with an intern at Automotive News, was it, Jeff, this week? Was it automobiles?
Yeah.
So we didn't get into it just because there was so much going on in the real world. That's not real world information. So we just didn't get to it. But we'll look forward to having him on. Todd Cook, not only is he with Main Street Strategies, Todd is the spokesperson for and executive director of We Are the People. And we're going to be talking about voter suppression laws and why we need to make sure the governor vetoes that stuff there. So we don't want to get so lost in the quote-unquote victory of the Affordable Care Act that we forget that there is very important stuff happening at the state level that we need to continue to focus on. And there is plenty of stuff. Jeff, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, I posted a lot of stuff to Facebook yesterday just because there was so much good stuff. Most of it, actually, I got from you. You've just been stellar with your information of late. Not that you haven't always
of
been.
Of late, yeah. Wait a minute.
Let me finish my sentence. So this one, I think we're married because I never get to get a complete sentence out. But I'm pretty happy to say that, you know, the Facebook, and you see, one of the things you don't get is that insights thing. Not everybody sees that. You know, you'll see that we're getting up to like 8,000 people a day checking out what's going on the First Shift Facebook page. Think about that. That's a lot of people. You know, that's a lot of people. So, a couple quick things that I want to mention as we wrap up this week. You're not going to know the guy's name, but I'll throw it out there. Rick DiBartolomeo. Mean anything to many of you? Probably not. Again, that's Rick DiBartolomeo. Well, he was Governor Snyder's deputy campaign manager up until actually a couple months ago. Go on. Somebody asked me, okay, what's his new job? Somebody, okay, thank you. Yes, his new job, folks, is he is now working for the State Department of Treasury. He started work on Monday as an administrator of a new division within the Bureau of Investments with responsibility for defined contribution plans and trust funds, which together have about $60 billion in assets. It's a civil service post, so he actually had to go through a hiring process. He wasn't appointed. And according to both the Department of Treasury and Mr. DiBartolomeo himself, Governor Snyder absolutely had nothing to do with him getting this $115,000 a year job. Do you believe it? Does it matter? Apparently, he's more than qualified for the job. At least that's what I heard. Listen, it's not unusual for people that work on campaigns to get hired by those that are elected. That's not unusual at all. It's just pointing out that that's what's going on. All right, another story that just kind of blew my mind. I'm going to read the first paragraph because I think that tells a story better than I can. Jason Crowick is a Marine combat veteran who served 28 months in Iraq. When he came home, he found a job working for $18 an hour as a mechanic on Stryker vehicles for General Dynamics Land Systems in Fort Lewis, Washington. He's now he is a new combatant. That's right, as his employer is attempting to stop him and his fellow contractors from joining Local 286 of the IUOE, which is the International Union of Operating Engineers. For the last 6 months, Crowick and 120 of his coworkers, nearly half of whom are veterans, have been forced to attend anti-union meetings in which General Dynamics managers make them watch films about why unions are bad. General Dynamics has easier. Oh, my God. The union election is scheduled for June 29th, which we will be watching, and General Dynamics has been forcing workers to attend anti-union meetings nearly every day for the last month. These anti-union meetings aren't being held on General Dynamics' private property, but on public property at the U.S. Army base at Fort Lewis. The Army declined to comment for the story and has not taken a position on these meetings, nor the claims that the workers voting to join a union would make them less attractive to the Army. I can't read the rest of what he said because the FCC won't allow me, but he says, I think it's BS the way they are talking to us. You think when it's prior military veterans who have done their part, they wouldn't do this kind of thing to us. Yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you? Listen, folks, if you don't think that we live in an anti-union environment, think again. The biggest victory we can have is to make sure the Protect Our Jobs campaign completes its mission come November and that we constitutionally protect every single worker, whether you are union or not, whether you are man or woman, whether you are gay, straight, black, white, American Indian, East Asian, I don't care. We need to pass the Protect Our Jobs constitutional amendment in order to protect everybody. With that said, I actually have a weekend off, and I'm going to take it. Oh, my, I have a weekend off, and I'm going to take it. Wow, I have a weekend off. It's just all come into my reality. Wow, okay. I don't have next weekend off, but I do this one. Anyway, Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. I want to thank all of you for being with us. You know I love you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org, or give me a call in my office. You can find that number at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute, let's head over to 75 northbound, just before John R., where you have an accident reported on the right shoulder. On the Southfield Freeway southbound at 96, you got a disabled vehicle that's blocking the right side of the ramp to 96 westbound. And you got some slow traffic on 75 southbound between 696 and 8 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 96 degrees. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 68. This weekend, low 90s and a chance of thunderstorms. And it's currently 76 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. 1310 WDTW. This is Detroit's Progressive Talk. 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit.